Oh yeah, Mike Sarge Riley. This is the Macho Man Randy Savage, speaking from the heart. And today my chosen medium happens to be Sean Silver from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Yeah, don't know him? Read the website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Yeah, and I'm talking about the Crush the Crew contest. And I'm talking about the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion of all time. Yeah, the best of the best. And the hell with the rest, yeah. Cream of the crop. And the mega powers, the madness meets the mania, yeah. Mike Sarge Riley, you're my friend. You're my teammate, so I'm not gonna beat you up, yeah. But if I had to, you know, I'd go up to the top rope. I'd drop the elbow, 1, 2, 3.
Can you
sub so
crush?
Fear me.
Whatever the hell you like, James.
True. Ooh, yeah.
Into a 98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich has crushed the crew contest. Many, many entries wanting to take on Sarge and his hype man, Guy from Machine. All going on tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
The fact that Guy Machine's going to be, it's going to be chaos in here. I mean, yes. It's going to be.
Yes. I like that. That's what I want.
It's Guy from, I mean, it's a good thing.
You're a little nervous about Guy from Machine.
No, I just think that Guy from Machine deserves more. Like, that's, I felt really bad about how things went down last time he came in.
He sat down in a chair to talk. And then Rock and Roll Mike came in and just screamed all over him.
But we had nothing for him to do
now
because we didn't know he was going to be here.
But now we do.
Okay.
Now we absolutely have something him to
but
do.
But there's
going to
be like seven other people in studio with him.
That's fine. But he's the first person. All right. Here's what I'm envisioning. I'll tell you what I told you.
All right.
Fair.
So once again, Guy from Machine is going to be here tomorrow this contest.
Nick was unable to get him, even though I'm a little disappointed that Nick didn't go to this thing. Guy from Machine was at something called Sexy Latin Night, where he was not working a machine, but he has been confirmed to be here. So the Guy from Machine, first one in studio, he does a little promo for Sarge.
Okay.
He tells us what he thinks of Sarge. And then throughout the contest, he stands behind Sarge to give his approval, like to hype him up. We ask him about the other contestants.
What is the name? What is the wrestling name of your the guy you're managing?
A rugged double bear.
It's Rugged Double Bear.
Yeah, we can ask him to describe what he would be.
It could be.
Yeah, Sarge's name. It doesn't have to be Sarge.
No.
He could be Sergeant Double Bear.
Sergeant Double Bear.
Yeah, he could be Sergeant Rugged. Whatever the hell I was supposed to, Anteater or whatever they called me. So anyway, we solicited for these videos. So Sarge is it's a Jeopardy situation. Now, this is funny. So Jimmy Stewart has been great. He wants to participate this. He says, anything that you need me to do.
Yeah.
So he said, it would be funny if Andy Wong, who owns Kowloon, did one thing. And Jimmy, Jimmy's just being honest. He's like, to be honest with you, I don't think Andy will do it. He doesn't like things like that.
He's kind of a private person.
Like what? Free press? And so, anyway, so we have some ideas.
Jay Stu's been like so good that, you know, we had a professional wrestler, Mike Kanellis, from here in town. We had in the studio. He was great, offering to like help out. But he's going to be out of town. But Jay Stu said, but he might be sending something. There's a lot of wrestlers who might be sending something.
Yeah, because Jay was just...
I'm on the phone.
Yeah, Jay Stu is just like, he's...
he's getting all of his contact books open, ready to go.
Yeah, he's like someone from the NFL Network, just working the phones.
Oh, yeah. So we got these submissions. And the way it worked is that if you want to take on Sarge in this wrestling contest that we have tomorrow at 8 o'clock, a wrestling trivia, then you'll win tickets to the TD Garden. There's a big wrestling thing at the end of the month. I forget what the name is, like the Road to WrestleMania. And we had people submit their promos, you know, where they talk up a big game and that they're going to take on the Kowloon crew. And the submissions have been phenomenal because not only have we gotten just, you know, people who know a ton about wrestling, we've gotten actual ex-wrestlers who want to be in on this.
And what's funny is Jay Stu knows who they are.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, have you talked to old Randino? Oh, he was a king on the ECW circuit. Like, I have no idea who this person
is. We had this woman that was an entry we played yesterday. He's like, yeah, she wrestled in the like, you know, high school gym league. Wow.
Like, all right. But she, I mean, she was great.
Oh, yeah.
But she was good, but we got a bunch of excellent ones yesterday. Let's start with one. You know what? I'm not even going to... I'm going to turn the audio off on this because he even made his own promo with his own creepy music.
Oh.
This is an ex-wrestler. He's a wrestler right now, and his name is... The Diabolical Scott Ledoux.
The Revolting Blob.
And in this video, he has got, it's much like Alice Cooper the other night, he's sitting in the dark, and he's got a bloody, what looks like a lab coat, and a mask on.
He's like Slipknot.
A skeleton, yeah, only, then he starts talking to his own mask. So let's take a listen.
They're here. They're coming. They're here. They're coming. The brother moons are here, Crowley. They tell me that March 9th, 2018 is Judgment Day for one named Sarge Mike Riley. The 8 o'clock hour will be the 0 hour. He says he's got better intellect than me and you in wrestling knowledge. Mike Riley, you need to ask yourself one question. Are you more diabolically gifted at wrestling knowledge than us? Even better question is on your darkest moment of a dying world. Who will you become? See you Friday.
Okay.
I love him. So diabolical.
Oh, man.
Well, listen, so macabre.
The guy is committed to his character. Is that a real wrestler? Or is that the guy?
I think he's like one of these lower level wrestling guys. So just imagine having him in studio the entire time with Guy from Machine here, John Wallach. And he's got, as long as he stays in character, I'm cool.
Yeah, he's got to stay in character.
Oh yeah, you've got to be crazy.
He's got a different hook than these other people.
He does. And then you've got a gentleman who just calls himself the Fan. Now the Fan is a guy.
He just comes in with nachos and a hat with two beer cans on it.
Yeah. So you got the Fan, and he just says, "You know what? What do you want from me? I got a lot of toys." Let's take a listen.
Fans have $400 belts. $400? I have a mortgage. How the hell are you affording this? Let me show you something in my basement. Currently, right here, Dollhouse, Ultimate Warrior, Sting and Taker hanging out. You won't get that at WrestleMania, but you'll get it here in a Dollhouse. And Jake the Snake just, you know, doing his thing. Right there, 1990 Marvel, still in the package. Bret Hart poster, Tatanka poster, Ahmed Johnson poster.
Why is this scarier than the guy with the mask?
Oh, it's way scarier. This is unnerving, is what this is.
This guy's great.
Oh, boy.
He has a dollhouse.
I mean, geez,
an actual dollhouse filled with action figures.
Oh, my God.
Of wrestlers.
And this doesn't appear to be like his kid's room.
No, this is him. Yeah, this
is his basement.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Who the hell has an Ahmed Johnson poster? Me, because I'm a Fan. So remember, if you bring me down there on Friday, oh, brother, we're going to have a good time.
All right. Yeah, really. Okay. I like this dude.
From a distance. You staying over in the corner.
Guy from Machine, chick wrestler, psychotic, creepy dude, and then screaming guy
the
with
fan.
Dolls.
The Fan the with doll.
With dolls.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it's... Yeah. This is going to be one of those shows that I'm just going to leave and I'm going to have no idea what the hell just happened.
Yeah. That's why I tossed the guy from Machine in there.
But I mean, it's almost like there's going to be so much that I wonder if guy from Machine is going to be like, I give up.
Keep him over by you. That last guy.
No, the guy from Machine comes in, he makes the whole show.
And then we have the dude who looks like he was in the band from Sling Blade. Ex-wrestler. This guy is an ex-wrestler. And he's the one that, Fred, that you called Ron Perlman earlier.
Yeah, I got that from Nick. Nick made a good point, said he looked like Ron Perlman.
He's got a big jaw, that's all. Big head. His name is Matthew McGee, ex-pro wrestler.
Yeah, I like Matthew McGee.
This guy might be 50?
He might own 7 Molly Hatchet albums.
Right, this guy looks like somebody that was bumming a smoke outside of the Alice Cooper show the other night.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen. This is Matthew McGee.
Crush Crew, you're in for a world to hurt. Because see the freight train, he heard about your contest. he heard that he needs knowledge. Well, guess what? I've got the cookbooks. Well, guess what? I've got the encyclopedias. And guess what? Hell, I've even got the straps.
All right, so this guy's got, I got to describe this guy to you. He's got like a real long face.
Missing a lot of teeth.
Yeah. Is he missing teeth?
Oh, yeah, he's missing teeth.
Okay, and he's got long hair, a cowboy hat, and like a gray beard. And just, I don't know if younger listeners get it.
Hillbilly.
Yeah, but more of like a, like he was like a roadie for Judas Priest. Like I'm trying to give a restaurant a reference that younger listeners would get.
But this guy, I guess, was a real wrestler back in the day.
Well, there you go. He's got a cookbook.
So, Crush Crew, you want to go against the best for trivia? Then you look no further than the heavy metal cowboy, the Freight Train, and Sarge, brother, this is how you do a promo. Because to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And, ooh, I'm the man, brother.
I have a feeling he's going to come in and someone's going to go,
Fred, hello!
I have a feeling that this is him when he's driving down in his IROC and he sees a fine lady.
Ooh.
Yeah.
When he hears the... When he hears the guitar solo on Unchained by Van Halen.
Ooh.
When Whitesnake, you just know you hear, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it's still the night is coming on.
Ooh.
When you see that Camaro burning them tires.
Ooh.
All right. We have a bunch more, but you and I have a decision to make. We got to narrow this down. There's a lot of good ones.
How many contestants other than Sarge?
What? Look at that chopper.
Ooh.
Okay.
I was just watching the video for Here I Go Again.
Ooh.
Okay, how many what?
How many contestants other than Sarge you guys want?
I don't know.
We might just like load the room.
We might just...
Well, I think you've already done that before you've made any decisions.
What is the name of the wrestling thing where you have like a bunch of people in the ring?
Battle Royale.
Yeah, maybe it's just
they're going to have a 50-person Battle Royale in Saudi Arabia. Maybe just have 50 people in here.
Maybe we do that. Maybe we just like invite like 7 of them and just like the first one he yells something out.
That should work well.
Just make it like just
what could possibly go wrong with that?
Everything, and that's why it might be the thing to do.
I mean, ooh, look at all that modeling glue.
Ooh.
All right. No one finds that funny, but me. Okay. Well, we have more on the way. Who knows how this will all work? It will be a lot of fun, though.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. By the way, there is a funny story that's been going on for a while. Amanda Kessel is Phil Kessel's sister, and she just won a gold medal with the United States women's hockey team. And
okay, hang on. I need to see what a female version of Phil Kessel looks like.
She's not bad looking.
Okay, good, good, good. I would hope so.
But I will show you, I mean, Phil Kessel has just completely let himself go.
He's given up. Well, heck, when he won, was it 2 years ago? No, was it 2 years ago that he won?
What do you mean?
When he won the cup.
Steelers won back to us. Steelers.
Last year. So yeah. I remember when he won, looking at him going, oh my Lord.
Yeah. Malkin
that guy's a hockey player?
Well, Malkin took a video of him in one of those cooling chambers, and he looks like Larry Fine, fat Larry Fine. He's completely bald, and his hair's long on the sides and the back, and he's fat.
It's almost as if
he's
got
as fat
better
as
the,
I am.
It's almost as if he got better the fatter he got. Like he became more confident. Like he just stopped caring what anyone thought. And Phil Kessel's gone from a guy that, remember when he was picked last in that draft, which was phenomenal in the All-Star draft, he went from a guy that people kind of would make fun of and despise to being like probably one of the more likable players in the NHL.
There was a story when he played in Toronto and after he was traded to Pittsburgh that... that Kessel would eat a street hot dog every day.
Well, I mean, there's that guy who got the tattoo of Phil Kessel riding a hot dog.
Yes. And so...
street meat.
Phil Kessel played in a... when he had the Stanley Cup, he played golf, and he filled the cup with hot dogs.
That's... Yes.
And...
so good.
And his sister came out and did, like, an Ask Me Anything or whatever they call it, but it was via video, and she claims... That, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
He filled the cup with hot dogs.
He filled the Stanley Cup with hot dogs. And the question was put to her, does Phil Kessel eat that many hot dogs? And her explanation, I got to put it out there, Phil does not really love to eat hot dogs. He does eat hot dogs, sometimes maybe on the golf course, but no, he does not love to eat hot dogs.
I don't know if this is Photoshop, but it's the best picture ever. It's Phil Kessel. Shaking hands with a hamburger.
Yeah.
So
I mean, look at him. That's an athlete.
Yeah, and he's like
he's got to be fast. At least 220 or 225.
Yeah, and he's fast. He's got the life of Riley.
Yeah.
He can't be any more than 6 feet tall, and he's got to be 220.
And there's there's no way he lifts weights. There's no way he does anything.
Can you imagine if he had that physique and was here? Can you imagine if he had stayed here somehow and let himself go like this?
I mean, he's playing well.
No, he's having a great season. He's on pace for like a 90-point year.
The computer's broken. I got to find you the picture of him, of the video Malkin took of him in that chamber.
His Team USA photo looks like a guy who like rolled in off the street and they just put a Team USA jersey on. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
And like, that, yeah.
All right, look at Phil Kessel in the ice machine. I mean, he looks like Rock and Roll Mike. Like a fat Rock and Roll Mike. He's completely ungroomed. Yeah. He's like the slovenly roommate that's in about 15 minutes of a 90-minute movie.
He's right on the edge of going the other way because I think he's 30 now. So, yeah. I mean, you get 30, 31, 32. You got to be careful, man. You're going to balloon out more than he already is.
I know what it's like. He looks to be 50 years old, 45 years old.
Who's the Bartolo Colon? Outside of Bartolo Colon. Is he the most unathletic-looking athlete that you've seen?
It's apples and oranges because you got to take pictures out of the equation. You just got to take pictures out of the
equation. Let's do that. Okay, taking pictures completely out because you're right because you can name a ton of them.
Right.
There's a lot of like David Wells. I mean, you can just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, you can be pitchers.
Juan Berenguer.
Patriots. Red Sox had a reliever by the name of Rich Garces that looked a lot like.
Sure. I know Rich Garces.
El Guapo.
Let's take all pitchers out of it. Is Phil Kessel the most unathletic-looking athlete you've ever seen?
Steve Balboni.
now we're digging deep. All right.
The Nad Kristich was pretty goofy-looking.
Well, Hot Plate Williams got super fat.
Celtics had a guy by the name of Thomas Hamilton who was 375 if he was a pound.
Oh, Sweetney. Michael Sweetney.
Michael Sweetney was about 400 if he was a pound.
617.
Sweetney was with the Celtics at the end, too.
617-779-095. And it's not only...
It's not just fat.
Overweight. Just complete... And I am the same, but I'm not a professional athlete. I'm disheveled. I could stand to lose some weight.
John Daly and Craig Stadler, do they count?
Well, I'm taking golfers off the table. Even though now... It's more difficult because all the fat ones are older. Like the guy with the ponytail and the
Angel Cabrera.
Yeah. See, I like him because he's got a pot belly like me.
Sure. I'm even thinking of like a couple years ago. I remember when Jeff Skinner first came into the league from the NHL.
He looked like he was 12.
Yeah, I'm like, this kid's an athlete? Yeah, like, he looks honestly like somebody who's like in sixth grade. Well, Torrey Krug, when he first... Okay, remember when
he was an intern?
When he was traded to the Bruins, we were doing Cuts for a Cause, and he was just wandering around the stage, and we had no idea that he was a Bruin. I thought that he was a guy who was there helping move tables.
So did I.
Who worked at the station in an internship.
I mean, and there's no... Well, first of all, he's like 19.
But since then, he's bulked up. I mean, he's actually, looks a little more like an athlete.
Johnny Gaudreau, the BC kid who plays for Calgary, he looks like that. There's plenty of kids.
I mean, if you go young looking guys in the NHL, I mean, you can take your pick. every team's got like five of them. Because NHL players are either David Backes or they're eight. So that's basically where sure. you're at.
Okay.
The idea that, this guy's buddy played with Kessel.
Oh, really?
Oh, all right. Tom, go ahead, sir.
Hello, how are you guys?
Hey, what's up?
So I had a buddy who played with him in the NHL. I'm from Rhode Island, right? He said he is the most foul, disgusting human being.
What did he do?
I think you put him on hold by accident.
No, I didn't.
Well, he's on
hold. Oh, did I?
Yeah, for some reason.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't know how that happened.
I'm sorry. Okay,
all right, so he's the most foul, disgusting human being?
Yes. He said that, in between periods, during one of the games he's playing with him, he hears, like, this crinkling sound, and he looks over, and Kessel is just, like, housing this brownie. And he's like, dude, like, we're playing an NHL hockey game right now. Like, what are you doing? He also said that he takes Pepsi in his water bottle.
Oh my God.
That's awesome. That can't be true.
Oh, yeah, it can.
Pepsi during an NHL.
He called him an enigma. He said he's just a complete enigma.
So he basically is the anti-Brady. He's so naturally gifted that he can afford to live that lifestyle.
Yeah, rocket shot, fast, great hockey player, but disgusting human being.
Oh, see, Coke in the water bottle, which I completely believe.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Without a doubt. Completely believe. Is the cherry on top? All right,
we're getting a lot of Pablo Sandoval. Pablo Sandoval is up on the list.
This is a great one though. Dennis, go ahead.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And you have to really admire him because you know he went out drinking every single night.
Oh, and he was ripping butts in between halftime.
Yeah, I mean he was just so good. I remember him coming out of Ohio State. He was just so good that he would just, big puffy drunk face, ripping butts, having the time of his life.
That's right. Florida State needed him for maybe 2 seconds a game. He'd go out there.
Oh, Florida State. I thought he went to Ohio State.
Yeah, okay. I think it's whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
I think it's Florida State.
He was a second round pick.
First round pick.
Oh, he's a first round pick.
I think Oakland took him at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a break. If the who is the most unathletic-looking athlete outside of pitchers, and we'll take golfers off the table as well, because there's a lot of those guys.
Well, I would more, rather than just, if you know someone, like the Kessel thing is very interesting, the brownies and the Diet Coke, the Pepsi. All right, here are the headlines.
Tanger and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. And one of the most incredible wastes of time in the history of anything I can think of involving grown men. Now, you know, companies make you do things because it covers their asses legally. If you want to be very, if you want to be... take it kind of at its surface value. If you want to be, what's the term I'm looking for?
I don't know. I don't know where you're going. Do you mean having to take all of these classes and seminars?
If you want
to
be skeptical,
you can and can't do in a workplace.
If you want to be skeptical about something like a sexual harassment course, you could think, all right, well, this protects the company. In the event of one of these things happening,
sure, and like also if there's any kind of shenanigans in your businesses, like insider trading, you know what I mean, like that, they have to warn you and give you these classes so that if you get in trouble, they could say, well, they were sitting here in this room. There is evidence that we told them not to do this, and they signed this paper that said they did not.
Exactly. So it gives them a right to fire you, essentially.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that all makes sense. I understand if you're a corporation. Now, it's boring, and some of it is a little bit infantile that they ask you and then they make you go through these scenarios where you're like, all right, yeah,
but when millions upon millions of dollars are on the line,
right?
Yeah, that you got to do that, so.
Okay, but this is one of the dumber things because this protects no one in any way. This is just some guy who I wonder what's going on in his own life. Kansas City Royals have a general manager named Dayton Moore, and he was talking about a arrest of one of his players, Danny Duffy, and all of a sudden he started talking about the evils of pornography. just like out of the blue.
So why was the guy arrested?
DUI.
Okay.
So the guy's arrested for DUI, and somehow that conversation got to be about the dangers of pornography. And
when you say that conversation, was he speaking to the press?
Yes. He was speaking to the press about Danny Duffy's DUI arrest.
Okay.
And then started talking about the evils of pornography.
Did he know something that we didn't know about some weird thing that was going on in this guy's life that was...
It wasn't
it has
a
nothing
DWM.
To do with
the
DUI, right. It has nothing to do with the DUI.
Yeah, it wasn't a DWM.
But I mean, I'm trying to just figure out what would inspire someone to just throw that out there out of nowhere.
He seems to be very passionate about pornography.
Okay.
So, this spring, at the Kansas City Royals practice fields, they had a group called Fight the New Drug to come in and tell the team of grown men about the dangers of pornography.
Now, was this a mandatory class they had
yes.
to take?
Well, looking by the number of people that are sitting in there, I'm going to guess it was mandatory, because if it wasn't, I would imagine there would be a tumbleweed. And I don't think that there would be a whole room full of people. So can you imagine? 617-779-0985.
What's the weirdest thing you've been mandatory at?
Is there anything dumber than having to sit with a group? And by the way, if I'm a baseball player and I got all day to kill, you're asking me to do the wrong thing. This is going to be a part of my life.
That's the most out there class or a seminar that I've heard anyone have to go to for a business.
And so
ever.
I fell down the rabbit hole of this, and apparently there are people that spend like 12 hours a night looking at pornography, and as the more and more you start watching it, the more and more extreme stuff you need to excite yourself.
Sure. I mean, for some people, I'm sure it's like how you have families that are ripped apart by, you know, a kid who for 15 days is playing a video game and is addicted to it. It's like an addiction.
Sure, but
everything can get to extreme.
Absolutely. So why, though, if I'm a grown man, is there a mandatory meeting about something that has nothing to do with, A, the business, it's none of your business, and what are you afraid of? What is this obsession that the general manager has with pornography and the dangers of it?
A mandatory meeting.
I'm
trying to go through my Rolodex of things that I've had to do, this is kind of different, but it was in school. This is when I was in high school. We had a assembly that we had to go to, and we showed up, and there was a giant video screen, and we watched a 30-minute ad for Pepsi.
Yeah, you've told us about that.
It was. You ever seen Role Models when like the surge?
Yeah.
It was exactly like that. It was like, hey, Pepsi, gotta be friends. Pepsi, listen, good times in high school. Pepsi. I think that what they did was they tried to sell the school that this was about self-esteem or whatever. No, it was a 30-minute ad for Pepsi.
Well, I'm glad that they gave it a good look-see.
I know, once somebody actually watched it before giving it to the students.
I mean, complete with like Van Halen's Right Now, and it was like, right now, drink a Pepsi. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, what are we doing here?
Was there a veiled message?
No.
Did they even try
Yeah, it was like, make the right choices. And it had like, you know, someone with their arm around their friend drinking a Pepsi. Do your homework, drink a Pepsi. And like the logo was everywhere in every scene. Like when you walked in to the assembly room, the gym, there was a giant screen and the Pepsi logo sat there as you were walking in.
Can you imagine if Beasley was like, all right, there's a mandatory meeting. Everyone show up at noon. And it was anti-pornography. And you're sitting there and you're like, you just get up and leave, right?
No, that'd be a fun... That would be a great day at work. Like, I mean, can you imagine just the reactions and the people having to speak about it? Dude, that would be way better than having to sit there and talk about, like, you know, plug hole and all that stuff.
I don't know.
A million times more
they bring
fun.
Up a guy who has to sit there and say how he was addicted to it and everything.
You can't tell me that wouldn't be the best entertainment forever.
I don't know. We had the stupidest meeting when we first started at WBCM where they showed us what was racist.
Oh, yeah.
And I got news for you. When we moved to Boston, everything was racist. They showed us cartoons. They showed us a Tom and Jerry cartoon and said how racist that was. We were in Atlanta, at least in some part of our careers. And Atlanta is 60% black. And for some reason, race was never much of an issue there. And the thanks, EEI. So the minute we got here, like, it was like getting in, hit in the head with a frying pan. They were like so paranoid about race. Yeah. And they made it, and they made Rich, Crash, Adolfo, and I sit through this thing that was an hour long, and everything was racist. Things that in your mind, if you looked at it and you didn't think it was racist, oh baby, they'd give you a backhanded way of telling you how it was.
That's right.
Never been so frightened in my entire life.
That was pretty nuts.
And then it got so bad that we extended the meeting by challenging the person.
They showed a cartoon of an actual cartoon of Tom and Jerry. And Tom and Jerry were fighting, and you see the leg of the owner, or it was like whoever it was, it was just a leg, and it was a black leg came walking in and started yelling at them, saying stop fighting, and then it left, and they said, was that racist? And we're all like, no, I'm like, no, that was racist. Like, why? Because it was a black leg.
And the thing is like, how does that even pertain to
like,
us?
What?
Like, we don't have an animated show.
Right.
Like, how does this pertain to us in any way, shape, or form?
So, I think it would be more racist to take black people out of anything. Cartoons. I think that it's maybe inclusive.
I don't even remember
the things they were saying weren't racist.
No, they were trying to get a cat and a mouse to stop fighting. So
you show up to work petrified the next day.
Oh, dude.
I can imagine.
No. When we first got here, before we went on the air, Hannah was like, all right, this is the deal in Boston. This is what the rules are. I mean, just absolutely petrified.
Man.
Like, I remember one time I mentioned a show, and I didn't even say anything about it. I just said I like this show that was on TV, like normal TV. And they called me in the office and they said, what the hell's the deal with you recommending this show?
You're like, what?
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't write it. Like, it's on TV. I don't know. All right, so listen, maybe next, maybe when we move into the new building, we can have a nice anti-porn.
Well, the worst thing is that those meetings where you've always got, I don't want the meeting to be over, Mr. Question Guy.
Well, that's, yeah.
Like, I'm going to ask tons of questions, guy.
Yeah. Or try to make the room laugh, guy.
Oh, jokey meeting, jokey work meeting guy's the worst.
Yeah.
How about Mr. I'm hitting on the person who is doing the class guy? We had that at the station before.
Well, that guy couldn't help himself.
I was like asking questions. You know, I just got a quick little question for you. And you're like, oh, yeah. And he was like complimenting her. So thank goodness it wasn't a sexual harassment thing we were in. Because it would have been like, no, not to do.
But that guy couldn't help himself. That guy's whole steez was... He was being the love. I wasn't in that one. I was in a different
place. It was really creepy.
All right. So we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Catcher and Rich.
So, how are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling, it's a loaded question.
Play the game to be in those moments, and you play those games to have the chance to win the Super Bowl. And when you don't come through, it's very painful. But you know, football's the blink of an eye. That's what you've got to live with for the rest of your life.
And, of course, Tom Brady next to him, Phil Kessel, with a bowl full of hot dogs.
No, I mean, Phil Kessel, he turned to him and said, what are you doing? He said,
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
That's what he does.
Pasta.
So
this is him eating like a bunch of pork chops. Like,
just pounding them in.
Yeah. So that is Tom Brady, obviously, the new Tom versus Time. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it comes out on Monday. It's the long-awaited one, which was supposed to come out almost immediately after the Super Bowl was done. And the team of, what's his name, Gotham Chopra, Deepak Chopra's son, who's the producer of that thing, said that they had originally conceived the whole series with the Patriots winning. And so when that happened, they weren't quite ready for the narrative that was going to be in the final episode. They had a whole thing pretty much scripted and ready to go, and they were just going to fill in the scenes from the actual Super Bowl in order to finish it up, and when that didn't happen, it went haywire. And to be quite honest, this is going to make a much better episode. And I said that. If you got him to sit down and talk about how, despite all of your hard work and everything, you still lost, I actually like that ending better than, I mean, you'd want to win the Super Bowl, but for as far as like it being a better final episode, way better, if there's honesty there.
I don't understand when he says, how do you feel? And he goes, that's a loaded question. Okay, well then I'll pack up my stuff and leave. Like, if I can't ask you how you feel.
Well, I mean.
No, explain to me how they.
I don't know why it's a loaded question, but yeah, maybe just, it's like it's a question that I'm not comfortable answering.
But just explain to me like why you would respond to someone saying, how do you feel with that's a loaded question? Like, the intricacies, and I could slip up in some way.
Maybe it's loaded because this whole thing was supposed to be about positive thinking.
Yeah.
And now it's
probably
like,
what it
I'm
is.
Sitting here and like, I feel like absolute garbage.
It's all about PMA and right.
Yeah. Right, I mean, he even like just like two episodes before this was saying, I need to be around positive thinkers, people only think positive. And then in his own documentary, he feels like absolute trash. And he's got to say that.
You see, that's the thing. How long after the game did they speak to him? If they spoke to him a day or two after, you would have gotten some of that raw emotion. But listening to that, it seems like, you know, a week went by and Brady had time to collect his thoughts and, you know, get back inside his own little mental box there.
Yeah.
And kind of be measured about all
you
of
see,
this.
I think
it would have been much better if they had gotten him 24, 48 hours after the game.
Of course
I hope they ask him about Butler. They're not going to, but they would.
No, here's what it's going to be. This is a little teaser piece that they put on Good Morning America. And by the way, Tom Brady's going to be on Good Morning America on Monday morning talking about this.
That was the first time that I had seen my kids really react in that way. Like, you know, Benny was crying, BB was crying, and they were sad for me and sad for the Patriots. But I just said to him, I said, look, guys, this is a great lesson. You know, we don't always win. We try our best. And sometimes it doesn't go the way we want.
You see, this is good stuff. Like, this part is excellent. It's not even the kid stuff. It's the dichotomy between, I've been telling you for 5 episodes how to keep this positive attitude, and I'm dealing with a breakdown. Not only did my career, this horrible thing happen in front of me, I'm still confused, and now my kids are sad. How do I deal with all of that? How do I live what I've been preaching for these previous 5 episodes? And to me, I find that interesting.
It's all turned out to be garbage. Everything I've been telling you kids is nothing. Life is just a series of constant disappointment. Now go about your business.
I do find the people who ganged up on Tom Brady and Giselle after Giselle told her kids, well, sometimes you have to let other people win. All these like Philly fans like, oh, they let you win. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, just calm down. They're talking to a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. What do you like? You're not parsing things out for what your fan base is going to think about that comment. You're just trying to make them happy at the time.
Mm. Not me. I give it to them hot, fresh, and real.
Hot, fresh, and real?
That's right. Just like a blimpy sub. all right. We will have for you a new round of our contestants trying to get into Crush the Crew tomorrow at 8 a.m. It is going to be a collection of everybody. This studio is going to be packed to the rafters.
Fred, hello.
Hello, Guy from Machine. You know, it was my idea to have you in.
Wave the flag, honey. The gay flag's out. Honey. Hello.
I wonder if he could bring the gay flag, and that would be Sarge's...
Sarge's flag that he waves?
Sarge, you have to wrap him in it, you know?
Well, I don't know if that's respectful to the flag, John. I don't know.
Talking about wrap the guy from Machine in it.
No. If you wrap Sarge in it, I don't know if that's what you're supposed to do. But, no. But you know, like, you know, a Rowdy Roddy Piper would come in and maybe there would be like a Scottish flag or something.
Sure.
Waving another gay flag!
Or Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik would have the Iran and the Russian flag. And
Sergeant Slaughter. He had the American flag.
Right. Yeah. So why not?